Can I just say this real quick? Did anybody notice the flowers when you came in this morning? Oh my goodness, they're beautiful. They're beautiful. Whoever's taking care of that, you're doing a great job. Our church looks amazing. It looks beautiful. This is the last week on our series on verses we love to ignore. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm kind of glad it's over. Because a lot of these verses, it's like, oh yeah, that's in there. Right? A lot of these verses, we're like, ah, crud, we got to follow that one too. You know? A lot of these verses, we see these things. And yes, we love to ignore them. We love to just look right past them and go, wait a minute, I'm still a good person. I'm still good. Right? Am I right? Am I the only one? I need your help this morning. Just understand that if you don't preach with me, I preach longer. So there you go, right? Today, we got in the back, we got Pam and Beth. They are very mad at me right now, but I just want to thank them. Don't mute me. Well, maybe you can mute me. But today we're looking at Proverbs 19:11. If you want to turn there, turn there. But before you just turn there, you understand we're going to go to several different translations of this, different translations of the Bible. And we're going to look at Proverbs 19:11. And again, we're talking about verses we love to ignore. Beth's already got it up there. Proverbs 19:11, in the New Living Translation, it says this: sensible people, stop, time out. Sensible people control their temper. My son is sitting in the back controlling YouTube right now. YouTube people, glad you're here. You're awesome. Man, also I think YouTube is one of those things where maybe we need to hear this twice, right? And go back and look through those and see those sermons that maybe we need to hear again. But YouTube family, we're glad you're there. Jason, man, we're ready to have you back. I'm ready to have you back now. Right now. Sensible people control their temper. My son is in the back, like I said, doing YouTube. And I would believe that if he was out here today, he would say, Dad, you're not sensible. I know, son. Right. Don't you wish you were sensible? Don't you wish you could just stop that knee-jerk reaction that just makes you go, ah! Don't you wish sometimes you could unsqueeze the tube of toothpaste? You know what I'm talking about? It's easy to squeeze that toothpaste out, but try to get it back in. It's not going to work. Sensible people control their temper. All right, Beth, let's go to slide B. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. Every inch of my humanness does not like that part. You mean we got to let people get away with stuff? You mean we got to... Oh, but wait a minute, do you know what they did to me? Do you understand the situation? Sensible people, first you're telling me, I got to control my temper. Then you say they earn respect by overlooking wrongs. Now look, it doesn't say let them get away with it, does it? That's the humanist inside of me that read into that a little bit. Has anybody ever done that? You read into things and it's really not what it's supposed to be, right? They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. Okay, so let's go to the Amplified Version. Let's look at what the Amplified Version goes. I like this one a little bit better. This first part, I like a little better personally. It just fits my plan for me, right? When everybody got a plan for you? How many of you that lines straight up with what God's plan for you is? Usually not, right? Good sense and discretion make a man slow to anger. Good sense, all right, good sense and discretion Make a man slow to anger. I can swallow that a little bit better, Adam. You know what I mean? Adam's seen my temper probably once or twice on the football field. He understands it. You know, there's times when I get angry. But what's the next one say, Beth? And it is his honor and glory to overlook a transgression or offense. It is his honor and glory to overlook a transgression or an offense. Good sense and discretion. Let's look at the message. What does the message say? This one's interesting. The first word. Smart people. That ruled me out right there. I'm just telling you right now. I am not in this equation right here. Smart people know how to hold their tongue. What is the tongue? Tongue, the Bible says tongue's a double-edged sword, right? Smart people know how to hold their tongue. I always got blown away when I was in Bible college, and there was a young man that I went to Bible college with, and every class that I had with him, he sat in the back. He never said a word. Never said a word. And we'd be arguing back and forth on different, you know, different meanings and different things that were in Scripture. And we'd be sitting there just, you know, right in each other's face. Just, that's not what it says. It says this and this. And he'd be sitting in the back. He wouldn't say a word. Until we all kind of calmed down and he'd stand up. And he'd say something and you're like, oh, how did we not see that? See, a lot of times when you hold your tongue, when you keep from saying those things that you want to say, God gives you the words to say to change everything. Does that make sense? We don't have that knee-jerk reaction. When we don't have that, but what about this? When we take it and we take a deep breath and we wait for God to speak to us, to tell us the words to say. What's the next part say, Beth? Smart people know how to hold their tongue. You have to be smart to know what the next word is. Their grandeur is to forgive and do what? Oh, come on, a little bit louder. What? Forgive and move on. Forgive and forget. Forgive and come on, let's go. That's hard to do, isn't it? I think the forgiving sometimes is easy, but the forgetting is. But we're called to forget. We're called to move on. So what I did, and this is dangerous. I know it's dangerous, but I really felt like this is something I needed to do. What I did is I took and I said, you know what? What? Let's just boil this all down. Let's boil all three of different versions of the Bible. Let's boil them all down. And I came up with a Dusty Bean version. Is that okay? Proverbs 19, Dusty Bean version. Spiritually mature humans. Now let me explain that those three words right there. Spiritual maturity doesn't have anything to do with age. Does that make sense? It has nothing to do with age. I've seen some of the most spiritual mature humans that are 14, 15 years old that are way more spiritually mature than your older crowd. Older, I'm not putting a number on that. You're welcome. Right? So spiritually mature humans are level-headed and don't let their emotions rule them. They don't knee-jerk. People that are following God, that are spiritually mature, and it doesn't have to do with age, it has to do with how they walk with God. They don't knee-jerk react, right? They find honor towards the Lord, not in themselves. They find honor towards God to see sinners where they are, in the sin that they are in, and still love them without holding their sin against them. That's what Proverbs 19:11 means to me. That we see people where they are. We don't hold those things against them. And we say, hey, come on. You don't let your emotions rule you, but you're mature enough to know. But here's the deal. When we don't forgive, when we don't move on, we plant a seed. Right? We know the story Jesus told about sowing and reaping. Right? That when we sow in good soil, we get good fruit. When we sow on the rocky soil, we don't get anything. Right? We know that. When we hold unforgiveness, we plant a seed. And that seed has a root. And the root is called bitterness. I was talking to Clint in the, it's a brown room back here. It's not green. And if they want a green room, they better paint the walls green. That's how I feel about that, right? They got a brown room back there. And in the brown room, I said, Clint, what's bitter? What's bitter to you? And he actually Googled the definition for me. I don't remember what it was. But bitterness is basically relative, right? That bitterness for some may be, when we're talking about food, for some, bitterness may be something different for all of us. But let's just look at bitterness in its entirety, right? Bitterness is a burden. I want you to hear that this morning. Bitterness is a burden. It's a monkey on your back. And the longer you keep that bitterness wrapped around you, the worse it gets, because there is a root to that bitterness, and that root grows. Bitterness has dangerous roots. Those roots grow deep inside us, and sometimes those roots spread to the people around us. Here's a conversation that might happen. I don't like that person. A wife may tell her husband, or a husband may tell his wife. Either way. Well, if you don't like him, I don't like him. And we start to grow this team of bitterness towards this person that they're like, what? What's up? We don't get it. This bitterness starts to grow and it spreads. Bitterness has dangerous roots, and bitterness has poisonous fruits. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just stop right there real quick. Anytime we have an evangelist or someone else speaking, if they don't rhyme something in their sermon, just walk out. Okay? Somebody comes in, they got to rhyme something. That was like preaching 101. But you have to rhyme something. So I need an applause, something for me rhyming. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bitterness has dangerous roots, and bitterness has dangerous fruits. Now, we've talked about how, or we've read in the Bible how, you know, the fruits of the Spirit are what? What? Love, patience, joy, peace, self-control. What else? Yeah, that a kid. That a good job. All those things, right? Bitterness has the same fruits. Total opposites. Bitterness has hatred. Bitterness grows malice. Bitterness grows strife. Bitterness controls our mind and will not let us have all the things that God has for us. If we continue to be bitter, those fruits will appear. Hebrews 12:15, Beth, it says this. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. I like that word defile right there. In that sentence. It's not just that it will grow in there and you'll have a tough time. It will defile you. You will become a sinner. You will become not a good person. The opposite of everything God has for you and wants for you, you will become because you would not let go of that bitterness. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Not just one, defile many. Like I was saying, that root spreads. The whole family becomes bitter. The whole company becomes bitter. Right? We start talking about our boss. We start having those bitter feelings about the people we work with. The whole company starts to become bitter. See to it that no one falls short. There's only one formula that can kill the root of bitterness. You know, when we use weed killer, right? You go out and you use Weed Be Gone, or what can I think of it? Roundup, right? Thank you. Roundup is basically vinegar, soap, and water. Right? We got to have ingredients, and they put those ingredients together, and it kills a root. Out here in our walkway out here, they've killed out all the roots. It looks beautiful. It's amazing. They've done a great job. We have to use this formula right here in order to control, in order to get over our bitterness, and that is kindness plus compassion plus forgiveness. So let's look at these three, right? Kindness is easy. Be nice. Don't be a jerk, right? Just be nice. Just be nice. Have you been to Walmart, Dusty? Be nice. Doesn't mean you have to be mean. Let them do their thing. It's a wonder how much kindness grows. Just be nice. Compassion. Compassion motivates people to go out of their way to relieve a physical, mental, emotional pain of others and themselves. When a person is compassionate, it's beyond kindness. When a person is compassionate, they go out of their way to meet a person's needs. We were teaching at kindergarten, right? I got some of my kindergarten homies here, right? We're teaching at kindergarten. There's a young man. He's a sophomore or junior now. That's how old I am. It was the day before Halloween, and you know, we were having the dress up, and we're gonna walk the halls and everything. But this kid, he didn't have a costume. He had no costume, Hagen. He was like crying. He was so sad. And I walked in the room and I said, "Hey, what's wrong with you?" And he said, "My mom didn't bring my costume." And I'm like, "Bro, I understand. You know who you're going to be for the walk around?" He goes, "What?" I said, "You're going to be Coach Bean." I took my hat off and I put it on his head. I took my whistle off. I put it around his neck. And he went, "Ah!" And I went, "Why are you smiling?" This kid thought it was the greatest thing, greatest costume in the world, that he would be Coach Bean. It's easy to be compassionate. Sometimes it's hard to make ourselves step out in that, though. What will they think? Will this kid actually like being Coach Bean for 5 minutes? He was. He was pumped. Step out. Test it. Be compassionate. When you see a need, fill it. We always say, hey, as Christians, our job is to be more like Christ. Nobody was more compassionate than our Savior. Step out. So, kindness, we're going to be nice. Compassion, we're going to step out. We're going to meet other people's needs. Forgiveness is usually where we have the big hang up. Right? It's easy to be nice, right? We know we should be at least. We know we should be at least nice. Right? Now, here's the problem with this, and I'm just going to give you a fair warning. When we're talking about this in church, I promise you, when you pull out of the parking lot, someone will cut you off. Okay? Just be ready. When you go to Walmart or you go out to eat here in a minute, something will happen, and you'll be like, oh, yeah, Dusty talked about that. Be nice. But forgiveness is usually where we have our hang-up. Right? Because as humans, we want to hold on to all that. And we want to go, hey, I forgive you, but I don't forget what you just did. Because I don't trust you anymore. It's not your job to trust. Do you realize that? I just want to clear that up for you this morning. Your job is not to trust in humans. Your job is to trust in your creator. Everybody understand that? When we say it all the time, I don't trust you. Neither do I. I don't trust myself. Right? Holy moly. I don't trust myself. But when we don't forgive, unforgiveness evaporates joy. We need to listen to those words. You wonder why you are not happy? Because you have unforgiveness. You wonder why you're mad all the time? Get over it. You wonder why you're not living in joy? Move on. Unforgiveness evaporates your joy. Unforgiveness will weaken your body. I mean, scientifically speaking, health teacher in me, listen to me, we've got a nurse right here. If you hold unforgiveness, your body will feel that. Mentally, you will have problems. You'll lose sleep at night. I didn't lose any sleep over that. Yeah, you probably did. Right? Without sleep, we start to struggle. Our body starts to shut down. Your body will speak to you in some way where it will shut you down. Some way where, right? Unforgiveness will weaken your body. See, unforgiveness is kind of like kryptonite. Superman couldn't get close to kryptonite. Every one of you guys are like Superman for Christ. But when we hold that unforgiveness, we can't be what God wants us to be. We can't go where God wants us to go. We can't say what God wants us to say because we hold these things in our heart and this root is growing in our heart and we can't get it out until we forgive and move on. Forgiveness is letting go of wrongs other humans have done to you. But the message even said it. It said, you move on. Forgiveness is moving on. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one. Be what? Kind and what? Compassionate to one another. Forgive what? What? Did it say just forgive that one person? It said forgive everybody. Because guess what? We've all sinned and we've all fallen short, right? We've all messed up. We've all said that one thing that, oh man, I didn't mean to. They didn't know you didn't mean to. Right? Forgive. Move on. Forgive each other just as Christ forgave you. Band, come on up. You guys in the back, come on up. We need you here. So here is the bottom line. The bottom line is this. If I don't bury my bitterness, it will bury me. I can't sit here today and I can't pinpoint everyone's thing there. In all of your hearts right now, there is something that we need to take control of. Everybody in here has sinned. Everybody in here has fallen short. And if we don't get control of what's going on inside our hearts, if we don't bury the bitterness, sooner or later, it's going to bury us. I can't tell you how many times I've had to bite my tongue. It's sore. I can't tell you how many times I've had to go to people and gone, man, I'm sorry. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to people that they don't even realize. And I've had to say, hey, man, I need your forgiveness. Because I've held a huge grudge towards you. Maybe it's a personality issue. Maybe it's whatever, but I've held on to this. And by me holding on to this, I grew this bitterness in my heart towards whatever. If that's you today, it's time to get rid of the bitterness. It's time to forgive. It's time to move on. And I know I don't know your situation. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what happened. But I do know that our Savior died for you. And I do know that our Savior also died for them. And I do know that the worst thing that we can do as followers of Christ is to hold bitterness towards another brother or another sister. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for this opportunity to bring this word to this church. I pray, God, for Jason. I pray that he comes back quick. And God, today I just pray over this congregation. I know any pastor would say this, that they would love for the whole congregation to just know you, to just walk in you, just know that you are God. So Lord, today as we sit here, God, point out in each one of us what we need to get rid of. Point out in each one of us, Lord, what it is that's growing inside of us that we need to get that root out. God, kill the bitterness. Make us kind, compassionate, forgiving followers of you.